It's a nationwide problem. There was a Michigan solution, and last night it made national news.
How you doing today?
What begins as excitement ends in tears for Rakila Harris Dudley and her children.
Don't cry.
Separated by less than 2 miles and by a jail policy that doesn't allow in-person visitation. Rakila's parents, Philip and Brenda, have been caring for her children.
Every day, where's mama? When she's coming home?
It must have made for some rough moments with the kids.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I said, well, right now, Granny's mommy, and I'm going to hold you until you feel better.
Replacing free in-person visits with costly video calls has become the norm in hundreds of jails across the country.
But not in Genesee County, where Sheriff Chris Swanson has said, you know, this should not be a money-making enterprise. We should allow these people to connect if we want them to do better on the outside. The Genesee County Sheriff Chris Swanson joins us live this morning. Sheriff, it's always a pleasure.
I feel the same way. Thank you.
So just tell me from your perspective, how lucrative was it for county jails to do away with in-person visits?
Well, I'm Genesee County, the fifth largest county in the state. It was 400,000 plus, and we get a guarantee, 15,000 a month for the actual phone calls, and then the rest is generated through a $10 video visit. It adds up fast.
Do you see this decision, Sheriff, like setting a precedent or influencing visitation policies in other jurisdictions across Michigan?
Well, that certainly wasn't my intent as my priority. My intent was to do what I know was right. This decision was made 7 years before I was even the sheriff. And when I look back, and this was on the tail end of the massive financial crisis that everybody felt. Mm-hmm. And my job as the undersheriff at the time was to give the sheriff a balanced budget, expenditures and revenues. And that was a part of the revenue package. But, you know, I look back and I didn't need a lawsuit to get my attention. We're doing so many other things that are just, you know, trend setting in Genesee County. This just made sense. And so I said, we don't need to make the money. And by the way, the inmates aren't paying the money. It's the families
right.
who are also paying and doing the time with the individual. So if it influences, I think it should, but that wasn't my motivation.
Yeah, that was a question Lester had for you last night. He said, well, I mean, this is happening after the lawsuit, but you said that was not the reason.
I told him a phone call and a visit would have been just as effective. I mean, they should know who Sheriff Swanson is and what I've done and what I'm going to continue to do. And I didn't need to get sued, a 300-page lawsuit. So I told him, I said, you do know this is, I'm doing this even before the lawsuit's determined. I mean, we have hearings, we have things set. That's independent of my decision. It's the right thing to do. Families need restoration. And if you can do that, and I understand the people in the jail and why they're there, but it's the families on the outside. It's the kids. They did not make that decision. They're the ones that are paying the price.
Well, help me balance the ledger then, because, I mean, you're foregoing $400,000 in revenue. You may have some taxpayers out there saying, hey, I don't care whether it's the right thing to do. It made sense for me as a taxpayer. Talk to me about the benefits of having these face-to-face meetings with those people. Does it give you a better behaved inmate? Does it, I mean, what benefits can you point to as a result of this?
Well, as a taxpayer, it's a lot cheaper for them not to come to jail in the first place. So that's the main motivation, is to keep them from coming to jail by not re-victimizing, re-addicting, re-offending.
Yeah.
And this is just one part of it. Don't forget, this move is a symptom treatment. My main goal is to keep them from ever coming to jail through Ignite, giving them a trade and giving them a new path and showing them that you don't need to victimize innocent people. You don't need to reoffend and steal from people. You don't need to re-addict. So this is something that is a great savings, because if they are established in the jail with a new culture in their own mind and they never come back, Harvard said it in their study, in their study, it reduces crime by 23%, educating people in the
there
jail.
There you go. Yeah.
Sheriff, from a law enforcement perspective, how do you juxtapose those benefits and challenges of reinstating the in-person visits amidst the consideration of safety and security within your correction facility?
Great question, Lloyd. I'm going to tell you, it's a risk that every jail in America takes. I got contraband coming in from teachers and pastors and staff. And it's not just jails, it's prisons, it's the BOP from the Fed side. That's always a challenge. But I do know this. We have a system that's going to be rolled out on July the 6th. It's a new operation I called Operation Restoration. It's a risk that we're going to take, but it's worth it. The benefit is to establish these families on the outside and on the inside. So again, they don't reoffend, they don't recommit, and we have less victims, less crime.
Sheriff, what about these in-person visits? Are they happening right now? Is it going to happen shortly? What is the logistic of it?
Great question. July the 6th, it's a Saturday. The first Saturday of the month from this point out, we have visits for kids 12 and under with their parents. I partnered with a third party called Motherly Intercession that's going to handle all of the interaction with the children. We have already done that for years. They've been with me for 20 years, but we've now brought them in as part of the three-part process to get the kids in there with their parents. And then within 60 days, I'm rolling it out, one visit a month, in-person contact for the adults. Now, I might add, there's not a jail in Michigan, myself included, that does in-person contact visits. Everything is video visitation. So this is a new and it's a heavy lift, but we're just changing the way we do operations.
Just give us a sense. We're going to see something today that is really interesting, which is crime victims are going to testify up in Lansing about this new bill that would give incentives to returning citizens that before they get out of the prison, they would be given up to 20% time off if they engage in classes or they come out with a skill, better life skills, better chance they won't come back. Do you think that will really be effective, and are you a supporter of that? Or are you like some folks that say, hey, look, we owe it to crime victims to make sure that truth in sentencing is truth in sentencing and that they don't get a lot of years knocked off?
Well, number one, my priority is always victim-centered. I mean, that's why I became a police officer, you know, 31 years ago, is I'm always victim-centered because that is where the true pain comes from, people being injured. Number two, you're talking to a guy who has Ignite. I don't write a single letter to a judge. I don't advocate for their cases. While they're in jail, we're giving them trades, we're giving them the schooling, and we've seen those numbers, and we've graduated hundreds and hundreds of people. What you're talking about in Lansing is strictly in prison, and these are prison credits. Mm-hmm. I'm not testifying. I really don't have a handle on what they're asking, but I do know that there's benefit on bringing those victims in to the scenario. So if the victims' families and the system allows that, that's the only thing that I think is a good fix. But
yeah, they would have a chance to appeal it within the parole system. So just wondered, you are so sharp on these things, and I know you've given these things a lot of thought. I just was curious as to what your take on it was.
Yeah, I think there's benefit on educating folks inside facilities so they don't come back. That's the ultimate goal. And I think that there's, when you look at the whole system in its entirety, there's a lot of things that we need to not only just change, but evolve. You know, I don't ever like to call, you know, defund the police or police reform, because that would assume that this whole industry that I've given and thousands of others their life to is wrong. We're not. But we have an opportunity, especially now since George Floyd was murdered, to evolve and become a better profession. I tell mm-hmm. people, most people love the police. We got to give them a reason to do it every single day.
Well, I also appreciated last night in the story about you saying you evolved and you've changed your mind on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you that I've always, my whole life has been, if I see something that I know needs to be changed, no matter who's responsible for it, own it and fix it. And that's what leadership is. And it was not easy. And standing in front of Lester Holt, who does not come out of New York, just to talk to him about Sarah, I will tell you, he's a good man. He did a great job. And it wasn't an easy story, but it was the right story. And I accept all that. And I will continue to make that change. Yeah. And you'll see.
Chris Watson, you're a good man. We appreciate your time and your efforts to constantly try to make the system better. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you and your platform. You all have a fabulous day.
You too, Sheriff.
Sure.
A great summer. Coming up, he ate his way through Detroit and raised a heck of a lot of money doing it. Mitch Albom, next on JR Morning.